Welcome to the Open House podcast site. Available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
The Macquarie Dictionary defines an airhead as a scatterbrained or frivolous person. And according to the author and journalist Shelley Gare, the world is becoming increasingly populated by them. Almost sounds like a nasty thing to say, but her book, The Triumph of the Airheads, is great reading. She actually says society is paying a price for replacing the serious with the lighthearted and the trivial. Let's explore that a little bit with Shelley. Welcome to Open House, Shelley.
Thank you for having me on.
An airhead. Do you think you coined the term?
I didn't coin the term, but it was exactly the right word to use for what I wanted to capture, because I went and looked at the dictionary myself, this idea of frivolity, but I also wanted to capture a feeling of a kind of vacuity, you know, a kind of vacuousness, that idea of somebody who just says, you know, oh, whatever, and talks in a kind of blank-minded way. And, of course, we all have our airhead moments, don't we? I watch detective shows on TV. That's pretty airheaded.
Yes. When did you first realise, though, we've got a problem in society where kind of focusing on the frivolous and the shallow, and I need to write something about this?
Well, it's not so much that it's just, by the way, the frivolous and shallow. It's also that I was very interested in the idea that things no longer quite made sense to me, that 2 and 2 no longer made equal 4. I used to write a column for the Australian newspaper. It used to come out on Saturdays. And I always wanted to do it based on the news of the week. And inevitably, I started realizing that the news of the week that fascinated me was the news of the week that didn't make sense. And I always remember there was a famous CEO called George Trumbull who was forced out of the AMP, and he went with a massive payout. I remember thinking, does that work out? What? He's losing his job. And then I remember in early 2000 going to interview a woman called Margot Cairns, who's a... She's a kind of life coach. She's an advisor to CEOs of Fortune 500 mm-hmm. companies. So she's a very serious woman. She works with very serious people. And when she and I were often talking about the business world, but also how things didn't make sense, and also we were talking about the rise of celebrity, where you only had to be in a film and you were making millions and millions of dollars. And I said to her, almost facetiously, do you think the world's going mad? And she said, yes, I think it is going mad. And this is a woman who goes to the Davos World Economic Forum every year. So all of this fed into this idea that something was seriously going wrong with our world. It was a bit screwy. And, of course, then there was the rise of Paris Hilton. And Paris Hilton made it all much easier for me. That really consolidated my thinking.
Yes, okay. Well, that itself is quite a phenomena, isn't it? I mean, many books are already starting to be coming out about the Paris phenomenon, the Paris brand, whether she's actually just simply a brand out there that's being manipulated, etc. I don't want to run the girl down, but tell me where that took your thoughts.
Well, the best thing about it was that it made it easier for me to talk to other people. Before, when I talked about my ideas, it all sounded... I mean, it was very clear in my head, my arguments, but people would go, oh, do you mean this and this? When I said, look, here's Paris Hilton... She's famous, but we're not quite sure why she's famous. She had to give an affidavit for a court appearance at one stage, and it became quite clear that she had no idea that the United Kingdom even existed, or that London might be in the United Kingdom. And she thought that the only language spoken in Europe was French. So here was this woman who was famous, very, very wealthy, getting paid huge amounts of money to turn up at parties, or half a million dollars. Suddenly, she captured... what do you call that amazing word, you know, the zeitgeist. She seemed to capture the zeitgeist of the moment. And while there might have been people like me going, this is amazing, we also know that there were many, many young people who thought she was just fab.
Yes. Now, why is that? Why has quote-unquote vacuousness become hip?
Oh, I think it goes to a lot of things. I think part of it is our system of values. There's actually quite a serious argument, intellectual argument, behind my book. We live in a free market society now, which is where it's all about money. It's all about if a company is making lots and lots of money, then whatever that company is doing is deemed to be good. It doesn't matter how it's treating its workers or if it has a long-term future. If it is making a lot of money on the market right now, it's deemed to be good. So money has suddenly overtaken everything. Now, when I was growing up, and as I said, I'm a baby boomer, so I was growing up in the 70s, 60s and 70s, money has always been powerful, but there were other things that were considered to be important as well. But now I think it's really all about money. And, of course, Paris Hilton is a very rich young woman, and I think people aspire towards money.
So it really is the pursuit of money that seems to be driving this airheadism, so to speak.
Well, I think it is. I mean, I can see a system where if we're all encouraged just to spend and not to have much in our heads, we become very malleable people, don't we? If all you're thinking about is your next TV or your next pair of kitten heels or your next handbag, are you really thinking about more important things like why have we got so many homeless in the streets, or is it fair that kids coming out of school and they don't know how to spell or read? So it's a great, it's the old thing of bread and circuses, isn't it? Let's just keep everyone entertained and then they won't be worrying too much about what we're doing to them.
Yes. Shelley Gehr is our guest on Open House. We'll podcast this via theopenhouse.net.au. She's written this book called The Triumph of the Airheads. What are some of the, you don't need to mention names and things here, but what are some of the more classic examples? Your book is filled with them, but the more classic examples of this triumph of the airheads that you've seen around the place?
Well, can I just mention something I was just reading on screen just before you called? I get the New York Times delivered to me each day on the internet, and there was a wonderful story that's called Dumb and Dumber, Are Americans Hostile to Knowledge? And in this, it starts off with a very funny story that could have come straight out of Airheads, where a woman called Kelly Pickler, who appears on American Idol, was on the Fox game show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? And she was asked, Budapest is the capital of what European country? And she throws her hands up in the air and she says, I thought Europe was a country. And then she thinks, oh, God, I better play it safe. So she looks at one of the genuine fifth graders' answers, which is Hungary, which is the correct answer. And then, but she mispronounces it. She thinks Hungary, as in, you know, are you hungry? H-U-N-G-R-Y. Hungary, she says. That's a country? I've heard of Turkey, but Hungary, I've never heard of it. Mm. This amazing ignorance where people just didn't know what was going on around them. You know, the other thing was Hurricane Katrina. Do you remember that, September 2005?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I turned on the television on a Tuesday afternoon and I saw these pictures of American citizens wandering down the road looking as if they're in a nuclear landscape. I kept thinking, this is the most powerful, it's the richest country in the world, and they can't save their own citizens. And as we know now, over the next 4 or 5 days, we saw so many dunderheaded decisions. We saw so many airheaded decisions coming home to roost, and that really made a big difference. I suddenly thought, that is what happens when you allow airheaders, when you stop worrying about the future, when you only worry about the wealthy, when you don't care about the poor. This is what happens. You get these terrible scenes out of the richest country in the world. It's very shaming for America, but it's very shaming for all of us, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so Shelley, here we've got this situation, this airheadism, which seems to be a focus on celebrity, on fame, on fashion, on the immediate, on what is quite vacuous in places. It's almost considered trendy or popular to not really be too knowledgeable. So we're seeing that actually affected in our education level. So yeah. I think on the cover of your book, Triumph of the Airheads, you mention a Big Brother contestant who actually said, oh, so there was a war in Germany? Something like that. So here we've got this scenario, this situation. You've already noted the fact that it's actually inherently selfish. It doesn't care about the poor, doesn't care about anybody else or even the future. Where do we go from here? How do we combat it?
Well, in that very good exposition that you've just given, when you're talking about the concentration on celebrity, the concentration on material goods, it's also the absolute defining thing of airheadism is that you only concentrate on yourself. You live in a bubble world. You only can see as far as the end of your own nose. I think one of the things we're all starting to slowly wake up to, and I'm pleased that my book came out in 2006, but that there are other books now coming out like this, is to say that you can't keep living like this. You can't not think about other people. If you do, disaster beckons. I've just seen that Australian Bureau of Statistics report that says that half of adult Australians can't read or write in a way that allows them to deal with everyday life.
Okay.
That's really scary. I mean, how do you vote? Just think about democracy. If you can't read a newspaper properly, if you can't even add up the figures on your paycheck, how do you vote for democracy? Now, I'm probably being a Pollyanna and being optimistic, because I do tend to be optimistic. I do tend to think eventually people wake up to themselves and see we can't keep going like this. But that's maybe because I'm an optimist. I mean, we could actually keep going in this direction.
I guess the thing will be, will we see a return to the desire to be educated, the desire for knowledge, and in fact, beyond knowledge and information, the desire for wisdom?
Look, you know what's interesting about this is because I was doing this this interview with your radio station, I actually thought, well, I really should, and I was looking at your profile on the radio station where you talk about your favourite book being the Bible, and I can't say to you that I read the Bible regularly, but, you know, it's certainly in my house. And I thought, oh, this will be really, I really should get out Dad's copy of the Bible and just have a look, just as a, you know, it's the most beautifully written book in the English language. Mm. And what was really interesting is that it opened straight at Proverbs chapter 14, and chapter 14 is all about ignorance. It's all about he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. And immediately above that, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. And in some ways it's really heartening. You think, how long ago was the book of Proverbs written? Hmm. And even then they're talking about wisdom versus folly.
That's exactly right. In fact, the whole of that collection of Proverbs is basically about wisdom.
And if you think what the world has gone through since then, you have to think that wisdom does triumph in the end.
But haven't you just cottoned onto something there in the sense that for centuries we've been talking about this, and yes, I believe the very book that you're reading from is divinely inspired, saying here, wisdom is a good thing, particularly wisdom that's in the light of God. And yet we seem to be turning our back on the past. We're turning our back on history. We're only living for the moment. Like you said, we're not even thinking about the future.
Look, I think one of the big things is the fact we've turned our back on so many institutions, and so many institutions that used to keep society on a rational level. So we might go get into extremes, but then these institutions existed and would drag us back to the centre. Mm. And I'm talking about everything from the family, but also, you know, to the universities, to, you know, the fact that church going was a regular habit. Those things are very important in keeping a society going, and we have turned our back on those. I think we are now really struggling to find what it is that makes us get up in the morning, what it makes us keep going. And the most common response I get from strangers, you know, when people, and I have been really heartened by this, people, complete strangers, will write to you from all around the world. They'll send emails or letters. They'll go to a lot of bother to get your a contact number for your contact details. And they always say the same thing. Thank you for writing this book. I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
I thought I was going a bit nutty. I keep on noticing all these things that don't make sense.
Yes.
And now you've told me why it's happening. So that's been wonderful to get that kind of response. And that does hearten you.
Yes. Well, Shelley, fascinating to talk to you, because it seems that the conversation that you and I have just had, I'm having with a variety of authors saying the same kind of thing, that we're focusing on things that are ephemeral. They are simply going to wear out. They're going to pass away. It's not what we can base our lives on, and I think that's what your book has done. Thanks for joining us on Open House tonight. It's been great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Shelley Gare there. She's the author of The Triumph of the Airheads, The Retreat from Common Sense.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.